studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Welcome to a post-4th of July program. For those people that don't realize what 4th of July is, we'll talk about that. By the way, I'm Robin, and over there across the room in another city is Cliff.
Hello, I'm Cliff in another city.
In another city. He's in the remote studio. I'm in the main studio with an extra monitor now.
Okay. You and your monitors.
Now I've only got 7. What more do you want? Anyways, 646-721-9887 if you'd like to participate in the program today. Chat room is open right now if you'd like to join us there. If you're listening to us on the archives, again, emails are welcome at talk@krbnradio.com. That's T-A-L-K, little at sign, K-R-B-N-R-A-D-I-O.com, in case you have trouble spelling it. But for the most part, we would like you to give us a call at 646-721-9887.
How do you spell little at sign?
L-I-T-T-L-E-A.
I knew it. Okay. So do we have enough evidence to impeach Obama yet?
That is becoming the running joke. I think that with everything going on, that He's just pushing the limits to see how much he can get away with. And, you know, as we're getting off on this, well, before I really get into that, I just want to kind of bring up the issue about what, as I mentioned, it's post 4th of July, and 4th of July being our Independence Day, which people are celebrating, just like Cinco de Mayo. They're just celebrating for the aspect of celebrating. Don't really know why they're celebrating, except most people, except for me, get an extra day off from work and go out and party, except for me.
I think people know why they're celebrating. They're celebrating because it's the only day they can set off fireworks.
No, actually, at least in Eugene, Springfield, you can set off any time you want to.
I think you better check your rules again, because I've been hearing about it on the radio.
No, they just don't want you to set them off at all. Anything beyond a smoke bomb, forget it.
Yeah. But you see, on this day, they can set them off legally. Now, it's interesting because I noticed, and I don't know if it's because of the fact that some of our neighbors moved away, but we had almost no fireworks set off. It was really quiet around close. It was absolutely quiet. Last night, we had a few of the big loud things that were set off a long ways away that we could hear. Some of these, boy, I swear to God, they find some really big fireworks to set off.
Right.
I don't know where they get them. I thought it was illegal, but they must buy them out of the country or something and bring them in.
Or other states. I mean, they usually put on a pretty good show here, but I will give my neighbors credit. They do clean up their mess. But
we didn't even have a mess this year.
Here's a question for you and anybody else out there. Do you know what the 4th of July really is besides the day after the 3rd?
Well, of course, it's the day of it's Independence Day. It's the day our country was made a country. It was the day it was founded.
It is the during the American Revolution, it's the legal separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain, which occurred on July 2nd, 1776. When the Second Congressional Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence that had been proposed in June by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, declaring the United States independent from Great Britain. And don't give me credit, I'll give Wikipedia credit for that one.
But yeah, and everything I heard you say, nothing mentioned the 4th of July. It mentioned the 2nd and other dates, but it didn't mention the 4th of July.
Right. Well, that was set mainly because of the way the week the weak lays. In fact, it says here that it was offset by 2 days. Americans celebrated independence on 4th of July, the day shown as much publicized, rather than July 2nd, the date resolution independence was resolved to close session of Congress, and basically because it mostly falls on the either beginning or end of the week or something.
Well, that's ridiculous. It doesn't do that. It changes every year.
Yeah, that's more of a convenience.
That's what I'm saying. The big thing is the day and what it stands for, and yet we're not celebrating the day it stands for. We're celebrating the 4th of July instead of the 2nd. I mean, if we're going to do things, we should do them at least on the day that they happened. I mean, that's, of course, we just kind of make up the day ourselves, just make anything up and call it okay.
Yeah.
That's just like nowadays we celebrate the things on the weekend instead of when they happen, because it's convenient to have a 3-day weekend instead of a day off in the middle of the week and then a regular 2-day weekend. It's just an interesting week, and just make up any old thing you want to, and people go along with it.
Oh yeah, why not? I mean, that's kind of what's going along now in D.C. is kind of an embarrassment on the independence and how things are going, and we have King Obama, for example, as you started to mention. We have a system in place called the Constitution, which apparently the Prince Obama feels that he doesn't have to follow and can do whatever he wants. In fact, one of the issues that it has caused, and he's kind of being mum about this, is the deal on illegal immigration, which is really becoming a hot spot because it's been real easy to say, well, okay, this is Texas and Arizona's issue because they're out there on the border states. And it doesn't really affect you and me, per se. But now with the flood of illegals coming, thanks to Big Mouth in the White House, as I called him a long time ago, they're coming over here thinking that with the promise of amnesty, just get your butt over here. And so we're being flooded by thousands of illegal immigrants, mostly children, some that are being accompanied by at least one adult or parent or whatever. But I'll give you an example. This is on Breitbart News. Obama moving immigration on my own without Congress after John Boehner tells him no go. And he's saying right here that America cannot wait forever for them, meaning Congress, to act. That's why today I am beginning a new effort to fix as much as our immigration system as I can on my own without Congress. Obama is stating in the Rose Garden with his sidekick, Joe Biden, at his side. And he's saying the Republicans, it's always the Republicans. Republicans will continue to block a vote on immigration reform at least until the remainder of this year. So he says,
that's because he's a Democrat.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and to be honest, I mean, sure, we got Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and whatever all on Obama's side, but this is supposed to be a representative republic. It's not supposed to be something where, the president can come up and say, if Congress won't do their job, and I'm actually quoting here, if Congress will not do their job, at least we can do ours. Well, what the hell is his job? He's, and this is what confuses me, he's acting a lot on powers that he doesn't really have, and nobody's doing a damn thing to stop him.
Well, that's because I can look at it two ways. One, we've only got less than 2 years left of him, and so we're just kind of writing him off already. Or the other is people are just they don't care. They just simply don't care. It doesn't affect them directly. But it's going to start directly affecting them. There are more and more people it is affecting directly. That's why we're getting more and more information about what it would be like to impeach him, or about what we'd have to do to impeach him, or or what has he done that we could impeach him for? That's all coming up on the internet more and more often now, and it's because he's getting a little too carried away. He's overstepping his bounds, so to speak, way overstepping his bounds. Not just that he is, because he's been doing that for some time, but now he's way over bounds.
Well, I agree, and part of the checks and balance system, which is why we have the different branches of government, is to, you know, for one, that we don't have royalty, quote unquote, running the government, but as a checks and balance system. Even Boehner was saying that he's blaming Obama's executive orders for the ongoing crisis of unaccompanied minors illegally crossing the southern border, and I'm quoting, the president's own executive orders have led directly to the, quote, humanitarian crisis along the southern border, giving false hope to children and their families that if they enter the country illegally, that they will be allowed to stay. The White House claims that it will move to return these children to their families in their home countries, yet additional executive action from this president isn't going to stem the tide of illegal crossings, and they're only going to make it worse. And that's one of the reasons why they're coming in, because you know that once here, they're going to go, well, we can't separate the families. You know, we got to bring everybody together, et cetera, et cetera. But now they're having the problem about, okay, all these people are over here. What are we going to do with them? They're setting up, they're converting churches, they're converting colleges, military bases. But then what's kind of interesting in that, as I'm going to my different screen, monitor three, U.S. Congressman, let's see if I can pronounce his name, because nobody's name is Smith anymore. Bridenstine.
Okay.
That's B-R-I-D-E-N-S-T-I-N-E. It sounds like a movie. Hi, I am Congressman Bridenstine. Anyways, wanted to visit an army base that is being used to house illegal immigrant children and was denied access to it. He made several phone calls to the to management of the facility, including HHS, and was told that he'd have to come back on July 21st, that they're not allowing any tours at the moment. He reminded them that this is a federal facility and that he is a U.S. congressman and therefore has the right to come on the property, and was still denied.
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, when I was in the military, of course, granted, this was a long time ago, if a senator or a congressman were to want to come to wherever military base I was on, we all fell all over each other, making them welcome. I mean, it was just everybody. We had to clean up our act and clean up our barracks and clean up our lockers and things, because in case they decided to inspect. Now, interestingly enough, the congressman or legislator didn't decide to inspect anything. It's our cadre that decided to inspect it and told them, here, you can inspect this, and then we had to live through it. But they didn't care. Right. I mean, the congressman, what does he care about what our lockers look like? You know, he probably cares about what we as military look like, but he doesn't care about the, you know, it's a waste of his time to wander around looking at a locker after locker after locker. I mean, he doesn't care.
That's true. By the way, this is Fort Sill Army Base near Layton. See if you're wondering what I'm talking about. But
yeah.
As the congressman says, is that what are they trying to hide? Do they not want the children to speak with a member of Congress?
Well, I don't know. Probably not. I mean, see, that's the thing. If a member of Congress goes down there and he gets to speak to the actual kids or so, and not just kids, but everybody involved, the illegal immigrants, he's quite capable of being swayed. Their sad stories are going to make him feel sorry for them, and he's going to try to do something for them. I mean, I think that would be the thing that I wouldn't want him to see them unless we knew that he was going to keep an open mind, because I think that a congressman would be too easily swayed in their favor,
right.
And I wouldn't want to see that, because then he's going to try to do something about it, and believe me, we get the Congress involved in that, and we're going to have a big mess. If we think we've got a big mess now, it could be even worse.
Well, and to follow that up, headline, Obama plans to ignore illegal immigrant children in detention facilities on Texas trip. According to the White House had admitted that President Barack Obama has no announced plans to visit overcrowded border area detention facilities holding tens of thousands of illegal immigrant children when he flies into Texas next week to raise money for Democrats.
Well,
he's supposed to be running the damn country and not. No.
He's not. He's through running the country.
No, he's messing up the country. He doesn't even take his daily briefings. If you look at the schedule, the other day he had a daily briefing in the afternoon. He's supposed to have that first thing in the morning, so he knows what's going on in the country.
But, well, you can have it in the afternoon and what's know what's going on tomorrow.
Yeah, it says here that Obama's excuse is that he's well aware of the escalating disaster involving thousands of human beings on the long border between the United States and Mexico. The president has a very good sense of what's happening at the border, says Press Secretary Josh Earnest at Friday's press briefing. He's getting regular updates from his officials who've traveled to the region. They're all focused on solving this problem.
Well, it's kind of sad that we have the problem in the first place, but whatever.
Right. Obama also feels, this is a different report, Obama also feels that most Americans favor the illegal immigrants path to amnesty. However, from my own personal view, and other polls are saying that I don't find too many that are really that much in favor. In fact, people are getting more and more angry about the whole situation. In fact, people are actually, as they're busing these immigrants to different areas like Arizona and California, people are actually coming out in droves to put an end to it. More recently, protesters at the Meridian, California, about 150 protesters awaited the arrival of buses, three buses of immigrants, and blocked the road and forced them to turn around. What they didn't know at the time is that on those buses, according to the New York Times was releasing a pro-amnesty article, and Breitbart went ahead and wrote something against that. They said what nobody knows, nobody was even released in Meridia. The Times reported stating that everybody here is, racist per se. That the other things that people didn't know, that the New York Times article urged Obama to go big on executive actions by granting amnesty to the parents of the so-called anchor babies, children who are born in the country to illegal immigrant parents. The paper did not mention that the pro-amnesty protesters in Meridia chanted Viva La Raza, otherwise the race, and waved Mexican flags. I'm reading live here. They also did not explain why Meridia's residents, like those across the country, were incensed that the federal government, without notice, tried to force them to take care of illegal immigrants who may be criminals or carrying diseases. At least four illegal immigrants who were on the buses had to be hospitalized with scabies and fevers.
Yeah, we're going to find out. We're going to find ourselves. We're going to have to put them all into some sort of quarantine when they come across the border. Because we can't tell where they've been and, what they've touched,
right,
so to speak. I mean, it's sad, but it's true, and we're going to have to do something about that, because we're just letting people in, and you just can't do that. I mean, that's why there has to be some sort of orderly progression in the first place. That's why we put limits on how many people and where they could come from and so on and so forth. I'm amazed that as many of these people as I hear, and I didn't get any numbers, but I'm hearing more and more about people from South America, not Mexico, but actually South America, someplace in one of the countries in South America that are walking all the way up from wherever they're from. I mean, thousands of miles to get here. They had to have started some time ago, not just recently, to get here at this time. I mean, it's very sad. Not kind of sad. It's very sad that they're doing all of this for nothing.
Right.
And I hope that they're doing it all for nothing, because unfortunately we're making a place for them. And we shouldn't be doing that. We should be sending them back. But I mean, sending them back where? I mean,
the point is that there's rumors that in these other countries has actually been on their media advertisements about coming over to the U.S. I mean, this is too much of a coincidence. All of a sudden, these kids without their parents, per se, are coming across international borders into the country. You know, the whole thing is that once they're here, that they're going to be saying, well, you know, it's a humanitarian crisis. We need to reunite these parents. And they're fleeing over here for a better life, and so we better bring the mother, the father, the brothers, the sisters, we better bring the rest of the family over here to do that, because, you know, we just can't send these kids back.
Well, we have to. It's not a matter of we can or can't. We literally have to. That's just all there is to it, because we can't absorb all these people. I mean, it's just not done. I mean, we don't have the room to do it, and or the facilities to do it, ready or not, like or not. It's just not something that we have.
Right.
So, I mean, we're going to have to build things, you know, to house them, build things to house them in. We don't have big buildings along the border to hold people in. And what are we going to do with them? I mean, either that or that we're going to have to spend a lot of money, and we're going to have to take that money. See, I as far as I'm concerned, as long as this thing is happening, and it is happening pretty, whether you like it or not, it's happening. And we need to take a lot of this money that we're giving to other countries, because we're still giving free aid to many, many countries, and I mean billions of dollars. We need to take all of that and build, God, I hate to call them detention centers, but that's what they would be, is detention centers, because we're detaining these people in those centers, because that's what we have to do. But we need to build buildings and places for them to stay, and make sure that they are sent back to somewhere as soon as possible.
Well, I agree with you that, you know, instead of coming over here and, sure, you stay in a detention center or holding center briefly, and then you're put on a bus and let loose in some community somewhere, which sooner or later you're going to, you know, find your family and get together, do whatever. But, you know, it's catch and release on the inside. It makes the problem for everybody else. But if it's a catch and release back to your own country, knowing that, yeah, you came all the way over here, but sorry, it's for nothing. You're not staying, period.
Well, see, that's going to cost us a huge amount of money to send them all the way back to their own country. I mean, we're not sending. See, they were sent.
Why are we responsible for sending them back to their own country? They come over here. Let's just send them back over to someplace, I don't know, send them 20 miles over the border and drop them.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what we need to do, is start sending them. Just give me,
it's not our responsibility to send them back to exactly where they came from. That was, they knew they know the risks when they cross international borders of what can happen. The problem is we've been so lax, and now that we're coming out and saying that, well, nothing's going to happen to you. You know, come over here, you'd be part of the DREAM Act. You know, you're just here to better your lives. No, we're not going to deport you.
See, the problem we have is if we send them back over the border in just a few miles, then we're just dumping everybody on Mexico, and Mexico is not going to be happy about that, because they can't afford to take care of them either. So,
well, like we can't. Why is it our responsibility?
Well, because we're the rich Americans.
Oh yeah, right.
Well, we are. That's the thing everybody looks at. The rich Americans can take care of us.
Well, it depends on how you're looking at it. I mean, yeah, sure. You and I are richer than the guy out there on the street begging, if you want to compare it that way. But overall, we struggle every day ourselves just to be able to put food on our table. I mean, both of us are lucky to have a place to live. But comparably, you know, I don't consider myself rich, wealthy, or whatever. I consider myself two paychecks to being homeless.
Well, two homeless, that's rich.
I know, that's what I mean.
And most of those people, and many of them, are homeless. I mean, even home is not home. I mean, home is nothing, is not quite often, it's not even a hut. It's just laying on the ground. And I mean, it's just really, I know the situation is bad in these other countries, and it's terrible, but we can't accept everybody. I mean, we can't.
In fact, we talk about 11, well, it used to be 20 million, then they reduced the politically correct down to 11 million. But even 52,000, as you said, unoccupied, 52,000 illegal immigrants in October. If these people, they got together, obviously, to all come over at the same time. If they would just, we're one day out of Independence Day, back in our Civil War era. If they would get together and say enough is enough in their own damn country, yeah, people are going to die, but, they'd just be cowards and run. That's why I consider these people that are doing that, they're running over here in masses instead of dealing with their own problems. On the other side of the coin, which kind of ticks me off too, and I agree with Randy Weber, Representative Weber, who introduced a bill on Monday to hold Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador accountable for their citizens' illegal immigration by suspending foreign aid to these countries. Why in the hell are we giving Mexico foreign aid?
Well, that's I don't know why we're giving them foreign aid in the first place, but in the second place, that isn't going to accomplish anything because it's not the government sending them here. They're doing this on their own.
Also, guard their side of the border as well. They're not doing it. They're firing on us.
Just
a couple shots. If people haven't heard, a couple shots were fired by a Mexican law enforcement helicopter. Was it last week or week before?
It was a week before. But
anyway, they strayed to U.S. territory about 100 feet, whatever, fired two shots, went back to their side. Mexico issued an apology for the incident and then denied that it ever happened.
Well, I wouldn't even consider that in what we're talking about because that was something that happened by accident. I can see how it could happen by accident. They were trying to help out some of the people of their own district, but it is easy enough for a helicopter to stray by a few miles. And if they were firing on people thinking they were getting something done.
Yeah, except for this big old fence that, according to the pictures, that they had to cross.
Well, up in the air in a helicopter. You're not going to, whatever.
If you're low enough to fire, you're low enough to see where you're at. Unless, of course, you are running with one of those car navigation systems that have an accuracy of about, 100 feet.
It's quite possible.
The border, turn left.
We don't know their systems are as good as ours, I think. I don't think there's any.
But I do like what Weber's bill is, by the way, and it's Weber, not with two Bs. The Illegal Entry and Accountability Act of 2014 would halt U.S. foreign aid to those countries until Congress determines that they have taken significant action to stop this crisis. And Weber is quoting, saying that if the president and his administration won't act, then I will. Well, good. At least somebody, whether they follow through or not, at least somebody is putting the president's words back in his mouth.
Well, he can't do anything. You know, he can suggest a bill, and that's all he can do is suggest a bill. He has to get all the lawmakers to vote for it, which he hasn't gotten yet so far. So basically all he can do is suggest a bill. So basically all he's doing is talking. If he would talk to all the other people in his area, and they would all talk to the president, maybe we could accomplish something. But they, you know, I don't know if even the president listens to anybody anymore.
Oh, no. No, he's too busy besides doing fundraisers. Let's see, this is from, who is this from? BizPack Review or whatever. The White House sent out an email explaining this visit. Every day, the Office of Presidential Correspondent sorts through thousands of letters. Every night, President Obama reads 10 of them. This past March, I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name, a hardworking mom from Minneapolis wrote the president to share how much harder it is to get ahead and to do the right thing for her family. The president not only set her letters aside, but decided to go and meet with her and spend the day in her shoes. And there's a visual. Today, President Obama is traveling to Minnesota to meet Rebecca, I guess, is kicking off a series of White House summer road trips where he will spend a, quote, day in the life, close quote, of everyday Americans learning about their challenges and struggles to get ahead. In the meantime, somebody else who sent a letter just before the president, Yeller sent her letter just before Sergeant Talamansky was taken into custody in Mexico after making the wrong turn and crossing the border with firearms, and it's been over 3 months and hasn't had any response or any progress. So, anyways, the president's out there doing his fundraising and going out there and go, look at me, I'm the American's president, and trying to make everybody do feel-good stuff. Meanwhile, acting as the king and leaving us holding the bag for when he's gone. Like you said, he'll just be probably on his book tour, and we're stuck picking up the mess.
Well, I hope he's on his book tour and just ignoring everything, but I don't know if he will be. As long as we're not, see, we're going to, that's the sad thing. We do, even after he's out of the office, we are supporting him in his waning days. I mean, what do we give a former president? We give him a lot of money. I know that. It's more than I make. So I'm sure of course, they're living a little different life than we do.
Or like the Clintons, oh, we were broken. We left the White House. Oh, I'm sorry. My heart bleeds for you. Your idea of being broke and my idea of being broke is two different things. When the Clintons go down and actually go and collect food stamps, which, by the way, with all this money being spent, is not leaving much aid for U.S. citizens, then I'll feel very sorry for them. But in the meantime, you know, with their million-dollar book deals and everything else that's going on, if they squandered their money away, I don't feel sorry for you. I'm sorry.
That's true. That's true. You know, these people don't see. They don't know how to spend money. I mean,
they don't know how to save money.
No, they don't know how to spend money. They don't know how to spend money because they just willy-nilly spend it anywhere they want to. I mean, they don't know how to do this. They don't know how to live and live at a budget because, you know, the United States government is not living on a budget. And we're well aware of the fact that Obama is outspending way more money than we have. I mean, we're what now? $14 billion in, or trillion dollars in debt or something like that. I mean, we're spending way, way more money than we have to spend, and yet he has no hint of slowing down or stopping. I mean, we got to find a different way to run this, or a different way to control the spending that the government does, because, well, we're going to find it. It's we're going to run the government into debt to the point that we just have no money left, and then it's going to be hard on all of us because they're going to want more taxes, they're going to want more money, and people are just not going to give it.
Well, and speaking of spending money, why don't you tell people how they can join us here, since I'm spending money for this.
Oh, okay, if you want to give us a call, and by the way, give us a call and have a comment. Maybe, come up with an idea. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call, 646-721-9887. But also, if you're somewhere and you'd like to get online and talk to us and not have to pay any money, because there are a lot of people that the 646 number is a long-distance call, just go on Skype. Skype is a freebie to everybody, and you can go on Skype and you can get a hold of us and talk to us on Skype, and we can talk to you, and it's free. It doesn't cost you any money, and we'd like to do that. We'd like any way we could actually physically talk to you and answer questions and make opinions and such things. Do that. We'd like to hear from you.
And if there's a topic that you'd rather talk about than what we're talking about, we're more than happy to change gears as well. So 646-721-9887 is the number to call. Right now. Do it now.
Really, I mean that. I'd like to hear from you, because I'm a little concerned if we're even on the right direction as to what you want to talk about and what you want to hear, because maybe we're talking about the wrong things. Who knows?
Yeah. I have nothing else. Just say hi and, you know, where you're from, which is kind of interesting, because we've had people from all over the world give us a call, and that's always interesting, too, to hear their perspectives. And so we'd like to know where you're at and what you're doing. Well, kind of what you're doing. 646-721-9887.
Keeping in mind that I don't speak any other language.
That's true. Well, even that can be allowed on the radio. Speaking of the immigration thing, even this shocked me the other day. On Bill O'Reilly, when Laura Ingraham was – now, she was one I would have said is a supporter of what's going on the border. But in all actuality, she's taken a hard line, which is what has really surprised me. Like, one of the things that she said on the O'Reilly factor – is, number one, first thing you need to do is start deporting people, not by the hundreds, not by the dozens, but by the thousands. This means entire families, not just mothers, fathers, but we need to keep families unified by deporting all the people who are here illegally.
Well, now, that's a sort of a silly thing to do, because you can't keep them together, because they didn't come here together, and they aren't living together. To try to put them together and then send them back to wherever they were from. That's silly. Let's just pack them up into buses and send them home, or send them away. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm pretty horrible about this, because I know a lot of people are going to get very upset at what I have to say. But the thing is, a lot of people are going to take it as what it's meant. We've got to get them to stop the. In a way, we've got to figure out a way to publicize that they can't come,
right?
Because that's what's happening. We're way behind. We're way behind. In the other countries, they've already spent a lot of time advertising the fact,
right,
that the people are welcome in the United States and that they can come here, and yet we're being deluged, and so we've got to find some way to put it to them in their own country that they're coming from, that this isn't possible, this isn't going to happen. And by sending them back on buses and such, unless we send them back to their own country, that's not going to accomplish anything. So we're going to have to do more than that. We've got to come up with a campaign to tell everyone in other countries that this just can't happen, that we can't continue accepting people on the border and coming into the border and across the border in the United States. We just can't do that. And that's why we're going to have to spend a lot of money and figure out a way to, because I don't know how you do that. You can't go back. You could go back and spend money on television in Brazil or wherever and tell them this sort of thing. But that's such a huge amount of expense that I don't know that we can accomplish that. And we can't go back and insist that the federal government tell people that, but we've got to get the point across that it's just not an open border.
Well, that's the point. You got to, before you do anything, you got to cut it off at the source. You know, if you come over the border and you get caught, you're not going to be bused to Arizona. You're not going to be bused to Texas. You're not going to be bused to whatever. You're not going any further. You're going back to wherever we send you, and it's not in this country. Then you can start working on the problem internally here. And the humanitarian argument, which this is where I'm going to go with this, if somebody is brought over here at 4 or 5 years old or earlier, whatever, and they've been here for 10, 15 years, they don't know of any other country per se. But then again, the parents are the ones who brought those kids over here knowing the type of life that they would be living. And those parents need to be held accountable for that, for their actions, because they knew the risks. They knew the dangers of crossing international borders into a foreign country and what can happen, what they're putting their child into. This is a problem that for us not enforcing our laws, you know, they say our immigration system is broken. It may be broken. It may take years and thousands of dollars to get over here. But the point is we have a system, and the fact that we allow anybody to come over here is our choice. We have a system in place where we can pick and choose who we want over here, not just have somebody coming in through the side window and deciding that, you know, we're going to enter your country and now you're going to give us all the benefits of being over here, you know, like driver's licenses and food stamps and whatever else. And, you know.
But see, that's all of a sudden we come into some real problems. And, you know, each state can decide who to give driver's licenses and food stamps to. It's not a federal thing. See, we don't have a federal government that's coherent like most other countries do.
Actually, I'll disagree with you right there, because the reason being is like in Oregon fought this for a while and then finally had to give in. We have to show our birth certificates to get a driver's license, because otherwise – Oregon driver's license was not recognized as identification to get on public transportation, such as a train or a plane or whatever. So we had to comply with the federal requirements to start requiring proof of citizenship. But Oregon is, and I believe that it's coming up for a vote, is thinking about having not real driver's licenses, but provincial or I can't remember the word of it, pseudo driver's license, which in Oregon your driver's license is good for 8 years, but they're coming up with one that's good for 4 years. And all you have to do is show an email, or not an email, but just proof that you've been in one spot for a year, and that's it. You don't have to show a driver's birth certificate or anything else to get your damn driver's license if you're undocumented.
Well, see, that's because the states can do their own thing. There's no federal law as to what they have to do. And there are some things that we're going to have to accept a federal law, one law for all the different states, because otherwise we're not going to have any law at all. I mean, at this particular point, the state of Oregon can say this if they want to. They can say all you have to do is show an ID or something. But, you know, the thing is, your birth certificate was one of the things that they had to show. It should be.
I'll give you an example. I hold a commercial driver's license, which is a federal driver's license. One of the top 10 violations, and that you can go on the Federal Motor Carriers Commission's website, the FMCSA's website, and see this. One of the top 10 citations, and this is required by law, that you have to read and speak English well enough to be able to understand the officer's instructions. That is the law. One of the top 10 citations is not able to speak English.
Even with that license?
Even with that license, how they wind up getting a commercial license and they cannot speak or read any English at all.
Oh, you can read enough and memorize enough to at least just get the license.
They obviously, some of these private agencies, however they're doing it, are offering it in different languages, which is okay as long as you meet the requirement, you know, where you can read and speak to converse with a law enforcement officer, which is required by law. But there are, like I say, one of the top 10 citations is that these people can't do this.
Again, I don't know how to respond to that because,
supposed to be a country of laws.
Well, they're not.
Even now what's being asked is that, why in the hell should we follow the law? I mean, what does the law mean? I mean, you know, even the president won't follow the law. Why should we?
That's true.
That's where it's going.
That's true. And it's going to continue going like that, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and then all of a sudden it's going to fall apart, and we're going to have to go back to find some way to fix it. And it's not going to be easy. We're all going to and I don't think it's going to be a long time, so I can probably safely say we are all going to go through a bit of a rough patch in our lives as we sit around and try to figure this whole thing out, because it's just not acceptable the way it is.
Well, maybe the president, maybe his actual goal is to get people so pissed off that, I mean, like people are coming out of their little homes now and they're starting to stand up and say, hey, they're starting to go up against the government, like the people that came out in Nevada to support Bundy. You know, people from other states that came in, and they were willing to go up against law enforcement officers with firearms, which is very unusual. You know, maybe that's the president's whole point here, is to get people so get them off their dead ass and to come out and there's been talked a long time for revolution, but you know, people have been kind of dumbfounded sitting in front of their TV sets or computers and watching, you know, America's Best Talent or whatever that is. I don't X Factor or something like that, you know, and
yeah.
Not getting involved, which is hard to do anyways when you're struggling to make ends meet and working long hours, assuming that you're lucky enough to have a job. But, you know, and then you're bringing this, as you're now talking, which I'm really surprised, they're now talking as just as an invasion, which before they were afraid to use that word. But how else? I mean, it's everything but. I mean, they're calling it refugees and humanitarian crisis, but, you know, it's getting to the point that, like I say, it's in your face. It's like Obamacare. It's in your face. And you either have a choice to lay down and take it, or you're going to stand up and do something about it. And when it comes into your community, like this one article I read where the government bought or was taking over this one college that wasn't being used and was converting it to a holding center, the neighbors were going, no, not my neighborhood.
Yeah, well, they need to stand up on their hind legs, so to speak, and do something about it, because it's true. Nothing's going to happen because the people are not being directly affected by it. And until they are directly, and I mean directly, right in your face, affected by what's going on, they're not going to do anything about it. And it's not necessarily going to be Obama's problem, because Obama's refusal to follow the immigration laws and so on, that's going to be over very soon. I mean, it's not that long before he's out of office. And I keep saying, I'm really looking forward to when we actually start having other people run for office, because that's when it's going to be brought, I think, to the attention of everyone, is because people are going to start campaigning on this problem and talking about it, and people are going to be made more aware of it than they are right now. And this is only, we're not even a year away from running for office and starting to talk about that sort of thing. I think it's going to make a huge difference when people start to do that, and I think it'll wake the American public, hopefully, up a little bit as to what's going on. And of course, it depends on who's going to run for office, because we got Democrats and Republicans running for office this time. We're going to change the president, whether it be Democrat or Republican, one way or another, he's going to be replaced. And I rather imagine it's going to be Republican, because people are going to be really fed up with the crap that's been going on with the Democrats at the moment. So that's what's going to probably – that's usually what happens when we change different things, when we change from one scandal to another.
Well, I'll tell you what I would really like to see, though, and even Laura Ingraham makes this point, is that the Republican Party has done a good job of destroying itself by not standing up for the American worker, not standing up for regular people. And what this is really showing, if I saw any change at all, I mean, going way back to 2008, where we're talking about the lack of birth certificates for the presidents, to the like I saw a post on Facebook that said that if you're a member of Congress and you've been there before the internet, you need to retire. You know, it's to get back to, number one, what the whole purpose of having a presidency and a Congress and Senate is all about, and number two, if anything that was shown in this administration is that there's a lot of stuff that we've just kind of taken willy-nilly for granted that needs to be changed so this does not happen again.
Well, I don't – it may not happen again, and if it doesn't happen again, then something else is going to be just as much of a problem. So that's not the problem. We need to fix this one right now and change things as soon as possible. Again, as I say, Obama is not going to be a part of all this because he's done. He's finished. And we've got a – I haven't seen any hint of who's going to be running for the different offices. Come think of it, you can go online and find out who it is, but I don't have the – I haven't done it here myself. I don't know. We're gonna have to see who's gonna come online and make a step in the what direction, you know, whether it's, you know, the person itself is gonna be. Are we gonna? How do I want to say this? Are we going to select someone to run for office that's going to do something, or is someone who's just this same old that we've had running all along that's not going to do anything at all? And hopefully we've got somebody different in the wings somewhere that's willing to do something.
Besides Hillary.
No, I said different.
Yes.
You know, Hillary is not different. Hillary is the same old thing. And the only thing that Hillary has going for her that would make her at all acceptable to run for a president would be the fact that she's been there, done that. Well, that's the same thing that makes her absolutely ineligible, in my opinion, that she's been there, done that, and hasn't changed anything.
Yep.
So the only thing is she has. I will have to say for Hillary's position, she has been around, you know, she has, since she's been there, done that, she has actually been in many, many, many other countries and talked to many, many other people, and I mean leaders of other countries, more than almost anybody, because she's been out and talking to people for a long, long time, several years now. And hopefully she's gotten a better opinion of what's going on in the United States in other people's eyes than anybody else that I know of. So that might be a good thing for her. But I would have to hear her get up and speak to the people, to the American people, and give an idea of what she's going to talk about and what she's going to run on and that sort of thing before I could make even a hint of an idea towards her direction.
Well, I will tell you one reason alone, and this is mostly emotional, why I would not vote for her or anybody else that is I want to use the word standard, is because of what's happened in these last two are in this administration, is the fact that if we could actually get beyond racist, which is, you know, you can't criticize the president or have an opinion because you're racist, that unfortunately people that are now following this president, you know, if Hillary or Sarah Palin or anybody like that could be 100% qualified. But you know that now that then we'll hear, if you disagree, you're sexist. Anybody else of color is going to come in, it's going to be the same thing again. If you disagree, you're racist. Until we can get over that, until we can get our system back to being the representative of the people, that I'm sorry, Obama has really ruined it, in my opinion, for anybody else that, well, I hate to say non-white, but, you know, anybody else other than the Bushes or people like that to come through. It's once bitten, twice shy. You know, I thought by looking at Hillary as a woman and looking at Obama, you know, as a person of color in 2008, that we've moved beyond these holdups.
Well, I think personally that we have moved beyond them. I think we have recognized the fact that we can get a person of color, as you say, and put them in office and still not accomplish anything, still have the wrong direction. But that shouldn't make us twice shy because, you know, if that's the case, then there's almost nobody we can, you know, it could be the Irish that, you know, we couldn't pick them, and we do, you know, there'd be a very, very small group of people to pick from as to run for office. So
yeah.
I think we can still pick any one of the people and any one of the groups and have them run for office, but we're just going to have to pay a little bit more attention to who they are. It's
yeah.
up to us to make that decision. It's up to us to pay attention to who they are and decide whether they should run or not, because, you know, if we're voting for them, and if we're voting for that person, and that person is the wrong person, then that's our fault.
Right. I was even in favor of Herman Cain.
Yeah.
I was impressed with him, but, you know, he got attacked so bad that he had to drop out, because I guess they knew that he was a serious contender.
I think that there was another problem in there, too. But anyway, Herman Cain was a very good. I was going to vote for him if
yeah.
he was in there. But you're right, he didn't last long. And I think that was a personal thing then for him than it was more than anything else. But the point is, you know, running in these offices is treacherous. I mean, it's really terrible. As a matter of fact, we've seen presidents killed, and it's for no reason at all, supposedly, other than the fact that they were the president. And consequently, I don't know what to do. I mean, it's just a hard thing to do, to take responsibility for trying to do something like that. It's really rough. But to put yourself through that and your family through that, that takes a person with a lot of guts.
It's very hard on the individual and on the family. That's true. And then especially if you have ideas that go against the flow of things, per se, then that makes it even tougher.
Yeah.
Or you are putting your life at risk, and they will hit you with everything they can find. You know, if you had a hangnail when you were, you know, 12 years old, they'll put that in the headlines as a way to try and discredit you.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of discredit, 646-721-9887, 30 minutes remaining in the program. If you'd like to discuss this or anything else on the post-4th of July program, we're not strictly limited to the topics that we have here. So if there is something that is on your mind, please feel free to give us a call, 646-721-9887. There have been several people in and out of the chat room, and we do appreciate you at least stopping by and checking us out. If you have an opinion on what we're talking about and you are listening to us on the archives, again, you know, please feel free to send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com. I'm done.
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing the things that the immigrants thing. I have had so many different thoughts since we've been doing, been talking about this on the air. Because at one time I thought, okay, let's go ahead and open the border and just throw it open and let anybody through that wants to. But once they're through here, you don't do anything for them. I mean, the thing we've got to do is convince our different states, because they are different states, we've got to convince them that they shouldn't be giving away driver's licenses or any other thing to these people. But, you know, it's hard to convince them of that, because this is, you know, what's going to happen then is we're going to have second-class citizens.
Right.
And that's one thing that the United States doesn't like, is second-class citizens, because there are a lot of people that take advantage of these people. They hire them for less money than they should have, and they sometimes don't pay them, or they do this or that. You know, that's... It's going to make us, I don't know what I want to say, different, no different than other countries. But on the same token, it's because we're different than other countries that the other countries want to be here. And so we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. It's what's happening. We just, if we bring children in and don't make them legal, and let them be illegal and bring us as many of them that want to come in, they'll come in. And it just, I mean, if they've spent if they've spent the time and the effort to travel 1,000 miles to get here and come across the border, then there's nothing going to stop them. They'll just go wherever they have to go and do whatever they have to do to make a living. And that includes, whether it includes legally or illegally, whether they come in and illegally do things to make money or to even just eat, that whether they're stealing things from other people or shooting other people or doing other things to get the money, they're going to do it. And we can't handle that. We can't have that. So that's where we've got to have, I guess you'd call it the humanitarian thing, where we deal with them on the border and then work with them. So we've got to deal with them somewhere, and I don't know, send them back. I don't know where we're going to send them. And again, I think we're doing about all we can do. But we've got to start changing our laws, each individual state, because people are going to, you know, if they can't get along in California, if California isn't a good place for them to live because they've changed their laws and their laws are not working for them, then they're going to go further inland, and we're going to have them right here in Oregon, building up large numbers, or in the middle of the country, building up large numbers and taking over things. And so I don't know what to do. We're just kind of lost in this particular situation. And the biggest thing is, we've got to spend the money. We've got to take time and spend the money and work things out. That's the thing that we're not doing. We're not making this important enough in our lives to do something about it. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to make this the object of what's going on so that we can take care of the situation. It's just, it's not being handled in any way, shape, or form. It's just not being handled at all.
Right. Well, like I say, why go through the problems of the expense and the time and whatever to come through the front door when you don't have to?
Well, that's it. You end up having no front door. I mean, it's all one door, and it's open to absolutely everybody. And you know, people coming through the front door are spending money. They're spending money to do that. And why should they do that when they can come through the back door? And so and that's what people are finding out, I think, is partly why it's so out of control, is because they're realizing they don't have to do that. They can just come in. And that's why we've got to start any law or whatever that the state has, and we've got to make some common laws regarding documents as far as they're concerned, driver's license and such things that we use as identification have got to be made common so that everybody knows what it is and where they're from and so on and so forth. And that way we've got control over what's going on. But we have no control over it now.
Well, here's the thing, that there's a website called US-immigration.com, which I'm looking at right now, which is put on by the U.S. government, and which is a very nicely laid out site with all different types of visas and other stuff and applications to, you know, one, get your green card, or two, get, HR or your visas, whatever, to get things going, and how to do it. And it says that the visas are good for 5 years, and you can apply for citizenship after that, and they give a whole bunch of reasons for doing this, including a packet and everything. And so it's not like we don't have a system in place, is the whole point. Yes,
we have no incentive to use that system.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there are some people that, I can't remember what program it was on, that there's some people that just don't want to. Like, there's this woman that's interviewed, she's been in the country for 14 years, doesn't speak a lick of English, and she's even considered it an insult to speak English. And she said, why should I have to? My community here, everybody speaks Spanish. Why should I have to speak English? That's not the point. If you consider our language an insult, then go back home. You know, I hate to be cold, but you know, if we're an insult to you, go home.
Well, see, that's the thing. They are home, and they aren't required to do anything different, and consequently, that's why you shouldn't have anything cater to them. In other words, they should. Wow. I mean, you can't say that they've got to speak English when they go to the grocery store, although they probably do. But in their grocery store, in their actual community, they probably don't. But, you know, how do we say, yes, you have to? How do we say, yes, okay, you've got a community here of 1,000 people maybe in your community who are all Mexican or all whatever language, well, Mexican. I'm just going to use that as an example. Right. And so, consequently, they all speak Spanish or whatever they speak in Mexico. It's not quite Spanish, I guess. But the thing is, once they've got that community there, she's right. Why should she change? And there should be certain experiences that she has to do. There should be certain laws that she, in order to have a driver's license, in order to have any of the any license that Americans are privileged to, whether it's a wedding, a marriage license, or anything, you have to speak the language to do that. But the thing is, all of these people can learn and memorize enough in English to get by that situation, to get by the business where they have to have the information to speak the English for those.
There's even situations that, you know, like if you're unable to, or you're old or whatever reason, there are exceptions to the rules of doing that. But for the most part, it is, well, I'm reading the USImmigration.com, you know, there is an English requirement, and you don't have to be proficient at it. You just have to be able to read, write, and speak English, at least enough to be coherent, so to speak. Not expecting somebody to come over here that's 35 years old and and you know, be fluent in English. It's like I couldn't go to another at 58. I can't go to another country and be fluent in somebody else's country, at least not without lots of practice or whatever. But on the same token, I'm not going to go move into Mexico or some other language to me and expect everybody else to cater to me in my language. If they do, to me that's a bonus, because they're doing that as a courtesy, not as a requirement. It's up to me going to that country, especially if I'm going to live in that country, to learn their language and to assimilate into their culture if I'm going to make that my new home.
So, but the thing is, what do we do with this lady who refuses to even consider learning the language or communicating in the language? What do we try to kick her out of the country?
She's illegal. She's not supposed to be here. And as she's, you know, has already pretty much said that it was an insult for her to even, you know, speak our language. Well, like I say, if you're over here illegally and you don't even want to speak our language, go home.
But what do we do? She's not going to go home. So are we going to send her home?
We're going to send her home. It's like, sorry, we're going to separate you from the families. Well, you know what? You know what? I get back to the thing. You knew what you were doing when you came here.
Yeah, this separating from the families, I don't even consider that. That's just not a situation. I mean, because they're here and they understand why they're here. And that's the thing. A lot of these women come into this country to have their children so they can be an American citizen, because that's one of the things I think needs to be changed is because you're born into this country.
You're talking about the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment was not designed for people to just come over here and plop a baby and have the automatic citizens. It was basically back when the slaves were freed to allow the slaves and the Indians to be U.S. citizens, although the Indians were not allowed to have dual citizenship, meaning that, you know, with their tribe and being U.S. citizens. So that's the whole point of that, and it just became accepted that, that you know, they could just come over here and, boom, you're a citizen because, you know, somebody came over and gave birth here.
Well, then maybe that we need to invest in our laws a little bit and change some of our own laws, because that sounds like it's a problem. And there can be ways around that, and at least ways to amend that and change it a little bit at least. But there's so many things. I can't imagine a whole community that's speaking Spanish, and I know there are those in the United States, whole communities, not necessarily cities, but that are speaking Spanish and are sort of that realization that they can do anything they want to. It's the United States is a way too forgiving as far as I'm concerned. I don't advocate throwing them out, although that's what we probably should do. If they were here illegally, they shouldn't be allowed to stay.
Well, see, and that's back to that Catch-22 thing, because of the United States not enforcing the law has created a big can of worms, and you can't just be, in all sense and purposes, you can't be really cold about it. Like getting back to, like I say, the anchor babies or whatever, that this is their country as far as they're concerned, because they know no other countries. You know, and it's not their fault, to be honest. It's not their fault, because their parents made that choice for them. However, just because, you know, we assume that you were born here and under the 14th Amendment assume that you are U.S. citizen, their parents are not. But then you get back to the humanitarian thing about, okay, are we going to deport mother and father, leave the kid here? Probably not. So what do? You send the kid, who might now be a teenager or you know, still a dependent child, back over to Honduras or whatever country that their parents came from, and try to assimilate them into that country, which is foreign to them now. all because the parents made the wrong choice?
Well, you know, it's we're gonna be damned if we do and damned if we don't. Okay? You know, if we don't do this, we're gonna have a million pieces. Well, we already have a million. We're gonna have 400 million. We're gonna be the minority people. And if we do it, we're gonna have to change the laws and it's even more than just illegally doing this becoming something in this country. It's way, way beyond that, because it's going to get to the point that we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to implement immigration reform, or we're going to be swamped and never going to take it back in our own hands. We're going to be
speaking of worms, but we have 13 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887. I'm going to go to the phones right now and bring on area code 407. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. As far as immigration, I mean, it's just going to continue. I think the Mexican War, we might have won it back in the 19th century, but in the 21st century, and even in the latter parts of the 20th century, they basically won. I mean, I don't see any clear-cut things that's stopping the swell of immigration. I mean, once Reagan, who was supposed to be the most conservative guy, signed that amnesty deal and let everybody in, and he had the right, and he even himself said it was probably one of the worst things he ever did to his country. But once he signed that bill, now they got the anchor, and they just bring more and more and more in. And there's no stopping it. There is really no stopping it. There's just, how are we going to get more amnesty? Are we going to do it gradually or all one time like Reagan did?
I agree with you that Reagan did make a big, big mistake there. And
oh, yeah. I mean, that was probably the worst mistake by a president in our history. Because, you know, I mean, you can't just, you know, I look through all history. Maybe I'd go with Lincoln when he put us in the war. You know, I mean, he didn't really have to, you know, restock the fort down there in Fort Sumter. But that was probably the biggest. And then Reagan's was the second biggest. But those two decisions by presidents were probably the worst. I mean, they devastated our country big time. And I don't see it coming in another direction. I mean, the Republicans and Democrats are both cheering and hoping for more immigration. The border's wide open. Kids are coming from everywhere. We don't know who's coming in. We don't know what's going on. So we might as well just say, hey, it's just what's happening to America, and get used to it.
So we need to basically come up with some sort of identification card, whatever it happens to be, so that we know who is and who isn't. And that way, I don't know if that's going to accomplish anything or not.
Are you kidding me? An identification card? They're not going to go for an identification card. That's not an answer. I mean, they're still going to be coming over the fence. They're still coming over every day. They're still stopping it. It's just the way it is. I mean, it's the beginning. It's the decline of America. I mean, it is our Trojan horse. I never saw a bigger Trojan horse in history than what we got going on our borders now. The Trojan horse in Greece was a small player compared to what we got going on today.
Really?
You can't even get showing demanding ID to vote is being racist now.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, you know, you're all racist. You know what I mean? You should want amnesty immediately and let more people in. You know, it's just the way everybody's feeling in the federal government and in a lot of other places. And, you know, it's like the insiders, the establishment, want immigration, and they want it now, and they want it free as possible.
But should we do so much to help them? I mean, should we do so much aid to them? I mean, or should we just make the border open and just leave it alone and let them figure it out for themselves?
Well, the best thing, you know, if we could go back to more of a libertarian stance, we would get rid of all the freebies for them. But that's not going to happen because we've got a progressive government, and they're going to say, hey, these are our voters. They're going to vote for, you know, what we want, and we want control of the country, and they're just our little voting servants. They're going to vote, you know, for big, giant corporations and big government. And that's where we're at. And I just don't see how you can stop them. I mean, the limited amount of people that we have from the Tea Party that are up there aren't doing a good enough job. And Boehner's definitely in their way. You know, he's such a Boehner, man. I read up Pelosi there and Boehner there. I mean, he should be kind of shut this down there, but he's such a Boehner, it's ridiculous. But it's what we're up against, and I just don't see an answer to it.
So you just don't see any answer at all, huh?
No, I really don't. I mean, have you seen any answer since 1986 or 7, whatever year it was when he signed that wall? I mean, it's only I watched the immigration here in Florida, you know, and we're probably not as bad. You probably saw bigger in California than we did in Florida, but still, you know, you just see it just coming wave after wave after wave with no stop in sight and no real answer. Who are you going to look for an answer? McShane? Are you crazy? McShane's right on board with them. I mean, are you insane? If you think McShane's going to be your answer, he's your Republican answer. And then, you know, the Democratic answer, Pelosi, Boehner, I mean, Reid, where are we going? I mean, that's just where we're at. And you know, it's like the people that are out there on the borders that might go out there and try to stop them, that's our best hope, is we the people actually going down there and trying to do something about it. Because if you're waiting for our servants, our political servants gone amok, our political servants that are basically parasites for the New World Order and destroying the Constitution, it ain't going to happen. We have to go do it ourselves. And if we don't do it, they'll probably overrun us.
Well, just like saying as enforcing the laws, like, for example, identity theft. A couple of years ago, I lost my job and I had to go in to collect food stamps, which for me, I'm one of those people that I don't like being on it, and I was only on it for like 3 months. When I filled out the application and gave my Social Security number, they said, you don't look like Heidi. Duh. They had me down as Heidi Rodriguez. So I ran down to the Social Security office going, am I still me? And they said, yeah. So they gave me a proof of identity form, and I went back to the HHS office, and they looked at me like, are you nuts? You know, here's somebody using my social number to get benefits, and, you know, without proof or whatever that who they are.
Yeah, I mean, the whole SS number, you know, that's another game right there. I mean, like, that is definitely heavy federalism and heavy control. I mean, I call it the state slave number, but, you know, they sold it as Social Security number. But, yeah, I mean, you know, and people use that to come into our country. I know I was with a friend when I was in Latin America, and he had his wallet stolen, and, you know, I'm sure somebody's using that. Probably 10 or 20 people are using his number, and, you know, it's kind of hard to really track or use the identity theft, but a lot of people just use it just to get jobs and to get their way into the country and pretend like they're an American.
Exactly. You said you're in Florida?
Yes.
What's the reaction down there at that end of the country from what you're seeing?
Well, you know, as a long-time libertarian and stuff, and there's good news and bad news. I mean, actually, we've got medical marijuana on the ballot here for this November, so we're going to get the medical marijuana like you have. But, you know, it's like hopefully it'll pass, and I think it will pass, you know. But our governor run, you know, we had Charlie Crist, who replaced Jeb Bush, and he turned from Democrat to Republican, and then we got, and then after he did, because he had to kiss his death in 2010 because he hugged and kissed Obama, and that's when he turned Democrat. So we replaced him with Scott, but Scott actually raised the amount of spending that Chris passed as a Democrat. And now they're both running against each other. So, I mean, I have a friend that's running for governor against them, Wiley, in the Libertarian Party, and he wants to reinstate gold and silver as legal tender to pay debts in four of this state. You know, there's a lot of states. The states' rights movement is our strongest and our best chance. You know, and if we can get the state strong again, you know, there's states like Missouri that are saying we're not going to endorse any federal government. Because basically I come from the anti-federalist position. I think the anti-federalists are right. We should have never ratified the Constitution in the first place. But fortunately, because of the anti-federalists, we did get the Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights is really our strength and our freedom. That, you know, if we can strengthen states' rights, then the states can put the clamp down on illegal immigrants. So we won't have to worry about the federal government. Then the states can do things to bring back free market banking and stuff like that. I mean, and say the federal government's going to oppose anything. One thing I'll say good about Obama is that he didn't interfere with the states of Colorado and Washington that both totally legalized marijuana. You know, I mean, if you had a hardcore McCain or McSane type guy, he might have gone in there with federal troops and tried to shut those guys down. So what we need to do is focus on the 10th Amendment Center. There's, you know, and that's actually out of California, the 10th Amendment Center. I can go into all the political organizations I work with, but there's too many. But that is a states' rights issue. You know, the 9th and 10th Amendment, the 9th Amendment was a people's rights issue, but the 10th Amendment, more of the states and the people, is how we need to defeat the federalists. And we are the anti-federalists. We are the ones who want to put the federalists back in the box because it's way out of control, out of the box.
Agreed. That's a question we bring up a lot of times on this program is we constantly hear that Obama and others are violating the Constitution, which, again, if he's violating the Constitution, how can he legally do what he's doing without consequence?
He can do what he's doing because, A, you know, the people in power that run the Federal Reserve, which is technically, and the income tax, they're both Marxist platforms. So they were created in 1913. The power to be, these are the most powerful organizations in the parasites that want to destroy the Constitution are the Federal Reserve and the IRS. So, I mean, you know, and the media. The media is owned by these guys that run the Federal Reserve, you know, and then basically control the IRS and they control the media. So, you know, they're little darlings, and most of the people don't even know about, you know, most of the people take the Federal Reserve system as something that was there always, and that's why we want to come to America, because we want Federal Reserve notes. And, you know, it's just basically command market economies. And command market economies can usurp, and they are the parasite that we are battling right now.
I agree. Well, we're running out of time, but definitely appreciate you calling and hope you'll give us a call back.
Yeah, keep up the good fight there over there in California, you know, and we got to work on states' rights. You know, work locally, work with your state, get them in their faces and keep the fight going because America can win again through states' rights.
I agree. Well, again, thank you for calling. We'll be back next Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Again, give us a call. We definitely
yeah, I'll try to call again. God bless. Bye.
All right.
Have a good day. We're going to call it today.
Exactly. So thanks for everybody that's checked. Thanks for calling from Florida. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.